This earnings season, it's all about feelings. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Global political news has been moving the markets quite a bit lately, but investors all over the world seem to be getting used to it. I'm joined now by Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Susan, what's on your radar today?
Well, the markets have something new to focus on. So this week is the quietest week of the year. A lot of people are on spring break. There's low liquidity. There's not a lot of news coming out. And the big focus is earnings, because the next news to hit is earnings. Companies, CEOs are going to be out there talking about how their businesses are doing and what they see the future to be for the coming, 2017, 2018. A lot of this is going to reflect sentiment around the Trump administration, policy changes, and how they feel the American economy is doing. So that becomes the focus. Tomorrow we have some big banks reporting, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, and it's off to the races from there.
Thanks, Susan. The hiring freeze instituted by President Donald Trump just after he came to office is set to be lifted today. In its place, the president has a new set of instructions for federal agencies. For more on this story, I'm joined by Emily Gooden, managing editor of Real Clear Politics. And Emily, what's the president planning to do?
Well, the president is asking all the federal agencies to issue plans to the White House about how they would cut the federal workforce. And he wants this done by June 30th. And this kind of comes at a delicate time right now, because right now Congress and the president are renegotiating a budget agreement because federal funding runs out April 30th. And while the president does direct the executive branch, Congress holds the purse strings to the executive branch. And they're the ones that have to appropriate the money for all these agencies. And Democrats especially won't be happy that these cuts are coming to the federal government.
Emily, you've covered several administrations, and other presidents have tried similar overhauls. How successful have they been, and how much fat is there even left to cut?
What usually happens is, and I think past presidents have found this, while you can cut the number of federal workers, the number of government contractors usually goes up. So what agencies are doing are replacing these federal workers with contractors to get the work done that they need. So it's kind of this inverse relationship. And government contractors usually make more money than federal employees. So I'm not sure how much of a win-win that is. I think that's something this White House is going to have to keep an eye on.
Emily Gooden is managing editor of Real Clear Politics. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
The World Trade Organization is out with updated numbers this morning, with expectations global trade will expand by 2.4% this year, although global political uncertainty could undermine that. Global trade is blamed by many for manufacturing job losses in the U.S., but labor economists say robots and automation share much of the blame. Our David Brancaccio is on the road this week, looking at the future of jobs as technology enters the workforce. As part of this reporting, David wanted to see just how far the machines have come, so he held auditions for a robot sidekick, software or machine to serve like Don Quixote's Sancho Panza for the journey. David connected to Israel to meet today's contestant, a robot named Eliq.
I wish I could travel. I've seen pictures of Yosemite National Park, and that's the first place I'd go to.
Perfect. A robot travel companion that says it likes to travel. It's designed as an electronic companion for older people. It sits on a side table, maybe near the easy chair, and learns a person's interests and needs. Maybe it could be belted into the passenger seat of a car for a road trip.
It's a system that helps you meet your own goals and therefore tries to nudge you. And to do that effectively, the system needs to decide which activities should it suggest, to play some music or to suggest that you go for a walk or reminds you to take your pills.
Doris Schuler is CEO of Intuition Robotics, the creators of, how do you say it here, Eliq?
Correct, Eliq.
How can I help you?
There she woke up. We're going to have this problem that every time we say her name.
This robot learns from its user.
So for you, she might say, hey, it's a nice day. Why don't you go for a walk? But for me, she might push forward, lean forward, light her lights up really, really bright, and say, hey, Dora, you putz, you've been watching TV for 6 hours. Come on, get up and go for a walk.
The device doesn't cruise around or have arms to wave. It's less humanoid and more, the creators say, objectoid. I suppose the thing does have a modernist suggestion of a head, but with no face.
She's an intelligent device, but she's a device. So there are no eyes, there's no face, there's nothing of that nature that reminds us of a human.
Imagine LEQ helping older people to use social media to connect with family using little head gestures toward its neighboring screen.
When she shows pictures, she actually kind of bows down and looks at the screen together with you. And in many times, she can actually understand what she sees. So she might say,
"Looks like they went kayaking. How nice."
Tests show people are more receptive to this thing if users themselves get to decide on sensitive features like schedules for taking medicine or exercise. LEQ is still in the testing phase, so like some of the other robots we've auditioned, it wasn't perfect for the road trip about technology and jobs that I'm doing this week.
You've been talking so much. Why don't you take a break and have something to drink?
Thanks, LEQ. I can take a hint. From the road, I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
David has a pop-up podcast looking at the ways technology is competing with humans for work. You can grab episode 1 at marketplace.org/robotproof. While there, you can also take a quiz on workplace automation. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.